Hey guys, this is Michal, and sorry, I'm going to cough a little bit. I'm just a little sick, but too much time in field. But I got on the phone today, Joshua Pellissier from the Tower of Badass. And the reason I'm doing an interview with him, he's got some pretty interesting angles on basically combining body language techniques with banter. So we were just kind of discussing that. We met at a party a couple weeks ago, and I was like, hey, that sounds cool. Sounds like something that the guys on my list might want to hear about. So, Josh, why don't you kind of, can you give us like a little background on, first of all, on how you got in the game and sort of where you're at now personally, and then we'll get into the content.
Yeah, you know, I got into this probably about, get a phone call. I'm calling you to tell you how I got into this right now, so just pick it up and I'll. Now, so I got into this about almost 10 years ago now. Started studying, and I was studying in the beginning, like other random stuff, like anything from psychology to body language study to Zen to whatever I could think of that would give me any kind of insight on social interaction. And I went through a lot of stuff, and I was sort of came across it and realized that I needed to do it because I've just like most guys, I found this girl that I really liked a lot, and I didn't know what I was doing with her, so I was like, I need to get this shit handled. I was this complete, absolute hot mess around women. So I started kind of studying, and I took a little bit different approach because I didn't know that anyone else was doing this. So for years, probably 6 years or 5 years or so, I was by myself studying, and I had studied by the end of that time, you know, I've been anywhere from like trying just to get outside of my comfort zone with my lifestyle to physically, like actually sitting down and watching hundreds and hundreds of hours of like training on rapport or attraction or seduction or sexual escalation techniques. And outside of that, things like, you know, like understanding scotches, like, you know, little things like I didn't know if I'd ever need to use them or not, but just stuff that I wanted to know. Etiquette, things like that. And I went all over the board, and I eventually started seeing patterns for everything. But the truth is that I didn't really get to any kind of success, really, until I hit rock bottom. And that was really when things started turning around for me. I was in a relationship with somebody, like, you know, one of the ones who got away back in high school, and I was dating her, and it was like, you know, she was really abusive and as a girlfriend. I didn't really realize this at the time because I thought it was normal, but like psychologically abusive, not physically. That'd be a little different. But, you know, I went through this process of like putting up with this complete bitch of a woman. And one day she came home from work or I came home from work rather. She wasn't working. And I was working two jobs to pay for our rent because I just wanted to make her happy. And she was freaking out because her dad was coming to visit, but she never told her dad that we were living together. So she told me that she wanted me to leave the house for a few days so that, you know, he didn't find out. So I did. I left the house, but I didn't know anybody because I just moved to a new city. So as soon as I pulled out of the driveway, I realized I had no idea where I was going. So I just drove around until I found a vacant lot, like a house that was trying to be sold. You know, it's for sale. And I parked behind it in my car, and I was just like, I'm going to sleep here. So I slept there for a couple of days. And none of this seemed weird to me. Like, I know it sounds kind of strange now, but none of it was like, it never dawned on me that this was a little bit strange that I was doing this. And that this wasn't okay, or that I was being kind of a pussy or anything. I just was like, okay, this is what I have to do, and you know, I'm a pretty loyal guy, so I'm gonna do it. And so I did it. On the third day, something happened that kind of turned me around from that pointed me on the path of everything else that I've gotten to now. And that is, the cops found me and behind this house. So they drew their weapons on me in the middle of the night. I was like, it was terrible. I had to sleep with the window open because it was so hot, but I had to sleep with the blanket on because the mosquitoes were so bad. This is in North Carolina. It was just terrible. It was this middle of summer. And so I was getting almost no sleep, like 2 or 3 hours of sleep max every night. And so I was already whacked out of my mind, just like retarded. And so they get there, eventually find out that I'm not a threat. So they put their guns away and they said I need to leave. But they were asking me why I was there, so I told them. And they almost started laughing at me. And I was like, okay, that's when I first realized that this wasn't normal, you know, that something was wrong with me. And so they're like, that's just, you know, when they were walking away, one of the cops said, poor bastard. I heard him say that about me. So I was like, well, shit, man, something's wrong with me. So that night I left and I started studying stuff in my psychology notebook from college that I thought I knew everything that I studied, but I opened it up and found some new stuff and I was like, I'm going to try this out for real. So I, next day I tried it out at work and it started working. And that was sort of the beginning. After that, like a year later, I'd read like somewhere around over 100 books and watched over 400 hours of audio or video training and listened to tons of audio and everything and just like started writing down all my ideas and trying them all out. So I tried out everything that I could find. And I'm naturally just a really good systems guy. I'm really good at recognizing patterns and then making them work for me. So when I started seeing patterns in attraction, I was able to dissect it a little bit, and I got back to the truth of some of this stuff and sort of organically got into teaching because guys started asking me what I was doing, and then I started teaching them. And first it was free, then I didn't have enough time to work anymore, so I lost my job, and so I started charging for coaching, and then the rest is history, you know? So that's kind of how I got into what I'm doing now.
Okay. So tell me about your sorry, you know, we talked a little bit before the call about the body language and how that jives with banter and how you calibrate the two together. Why don't we get into that a little bit?
Well, one of the things that I've found while I was kind of testing different stuff, and I'm a super diligent tester, so I wouldn't, if something worked one time then not another time, I tried to figure out why, always, because to me that wasn't a reliable technique. I had to figure out, is there a reason why it worked one versus the other? Did something that I did or something that I need to see out here, like in the girl that I was talking to? So I would test everything and break it all down as small as possible. So if I got something like someone said, say this phrase and it'll work, right? This girl will be attracted to you. So I would say it, but I would say it to 50 different women, and I'd say it at different times in different ways, and I would break it all down until I found one that worked consistently, and then I would sort of write that down. So one thing that I found is that nothing seemed to work when I took out proper body language techniques. So I could say the right thing and just like it's exactly how I read it or exactly how I heard it or someone told me or whatever, or even that I saw it getting done, or if I saw someone demonstrate it in front of me, I'd say the exact same thing, but it wouldn't work for me until I did the body language along with it. So then I started taking apart the things that I was saying, and I found out that I didn't need to say anything. I just needed to do the body language part and it would still work. So this was a huge revelation for me. There were some certain things that I needed to say something, obviously. But what I found out was that banter is basically content-free conversation. And it's there to hold the place of your mouth while your body language does all the real talking. So as I started kind of going through the process of understanding and breaking down body language and what makes attractive body language, that's really what came up for me and what I found out. So that ended up being the sort of Rosetta Stone for me. That I sort of took and I painted all the things that I was saying with a certain body language movement or series of body language movements, and everything started working for me. Even if I said something stupid, it would work because of my body language is still saying sending the proper message to people. So that's sort of how I came across that concept. Mia, I know that you teach a ton of body language stuff, so you know, I'd obviously like to hear any of your insights on this stuff, anything that you think or stuff that you teach too. Because I know you've been doing a lot of this.
I mean, I do a lot of like no head tilt, a lot of really positive like left eye contact, no shifty eye movement. Mm-hmm. The head tilt was like a little revelation for me because a lot of times like when you tilt your head, it's causes girls to think you're either anxious or you're in love. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of leaning back with my upper body, and I do a lot of like very aggressive positive body language with my lower body. Mm-hmm. So to get closer to girls, I basically, you know, I'll move up with my waist. I'll have our waist almost touching, but I'll be leaned back with my upper body.
Right. Okay.
And then, you know, in terms of facial expression, I kind of just roll with the conversation.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, basically, that's sort of the basics of what I teach. I teach, you know, how to walk properly. I teach guys to stand with their feet wide apart. Right. So they kind of like as if they got a gigantic cock.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Whether they do or not. So that's like some of the basics of body language stuff. I mean, okay. The only sort of, you know, modifier on my stuff is I drill it a lot. I do a lot of drills, and right. Like the way I teach is a little different. But mm-hmm. Other than that, it's, you know, it's fairly standard. Maybe, you know, the head tilt was something I added, and then, you know, leaning back with your upper body as opposed to your whole body was something I threw into. But it was like, right. You know, it's you know, I'm interested, you know, what else do you have?
Yeah, no, I was just kind of gauging because there's something that I found. It's interesting that you're saying that it's interesting that you are using positive body language with your lower half and almost negative body language with your upper half, which is really interesting because that is typically backwards for how we naturally interact with people. So
exactly. Well, normally people will do negative with their feet or their waist, right? They'll be like a foot away from the girl, but they'll be leaning in, right? And that's what blows them out. But when they're like on top of the girl with their waist and they're leaning back, it's actually what sticks the set.
Right.
Right. So, you know, yeah, absolutely. It's basically the polar opposite of
what everyone else is doing.
Everybody else is doing, right?
Yeah. So there's an interesting concept, and that is that the upper half of your body represents, when we read body language, we read it with our subconscious minds. We don't recognize it consciously, unless you've studied, obviously, and then you can read it consciously. But most people don't, and your subconscious mind speaks directly to your emotions. So when you do this, it creates an emotion, which is why it's so powerful in the first place. So if you're leaning, your upper body, rather, represents power to people, and your lower body represents sexuality to people. So when you see someone's lower body moving in a certain way, that creates a sexual intrigue. Either it's intrigue toward or away from that person if they're doing it wrong or right. So if you're closed off sexually, then that's sort of what you're going to give across with your body language. You'll be facing them being needy with your body language, or you'll be turning away because you're scared, that kind of thing. Upper body, though, is a scary one because a lot of women they feel crowded with men, which is why facing a woman directly or like leaning toward her, things like that with your upper body is what ruins most of these opportunities. But what I found is was slightly different for me when I started breaking this down, was that that's one mechanism, which is kind of like leaning toward or away. Almost across the board, it's better to lean away in the beginning, at least, until you get into rapport. But also how your shoulders are facing, whether your shoulders are facing someone or not. So if you face someone directly, like when you shake someone's hand, if you're a kind of guy who believes you have a lot of options, just in general, whenever you meet a new woman, instead of being needy and just facing her directly, you'll face her directly for a second, shake her hand, and then what? You kind of turn away and you look around for a second, and then you keep talking, or you stand shoulder to shoulder and you look over every once in a while and talk to her that way. And that's kind of a natural process that most guys go through, and the reason why we do that is because whenever we face our body towards something, it means that we want it. So women, when they see this, if you walk up to a woman, she hasn't said anything yet, you don't know anything about her, you just start facing her directly with your body, and you don't turn away, then she has to turn away in order to take that space away from you. And when she starts doing that, she starts running away from you, essentially, with her body language, and that ends up creating a lot of negative response toward you, you know, which is pretty typical. So what I do is I use a combination of what's called negative body language and banter, positive banter. So I've never said anything, well, I've said a couple negative things to women, like sort of, you know, negative statements that I learned in the beginning, but I felt like shit every time I did it because sometimes it would work and sometimes it would just make women feel bad, you know, like upset. And so I was thinking there's got to be a better way to do this. And so what I ended up doing that was a lot more effective for me and for the guys that I taught is I would have them give a positive banter line, positive banter statement, and then turn their backs for a couple seconds and turn back around again. And this was like, if I had to teach a guy how to meet women and be really good at attraction in 5 minutes, this is exactly what I would tell them to do. I would say, welcome to a girl you never met before. You want to say some banter line. You can have a couple in your back pocket just that you memorize if you need them. But if you can think of one on the spot, that's obviously ideal. That's something that's situational. That can be a little difficult though. So I have like a list of banter lines that I have, you know, I share with all my guys and that I have in my back pocket, a few that are really like my favorites. And if I don't know what to say, then I can just walk up and say that thing, you know, in a pinch. But the idea is to just walk up and say whatever comes to mind in a lighthearted way. So if your face is smiling and what you're saying is positive, you know, playful and positive, and then you've got her accepting you as a positive person still. So she's not going to feel threatened or weird, or you're not going to be dealing with any of your insecurities. But at the same time, if you use negative body language, then she gets the feeling that you talk to women like this all the time, and that if she doesn't give you some kind of positive response, that you're going to leave. And that is exactly what response you want to get from a woman when you first walk up, is that you have a lot of options, because at the end of the day, you know, we're kind of falling back on this idea of pre-selection. Like, if women think that other women want you, then they're going to be attracted to you, period. And that's really what all the body language movements are all about. It's about mimicking the traits that we would naturally have if we thought we had a lot of options with women, until we actually have so many options that we don't have to mimic anymore, you know? And that's kind of the concept. So sort of as a sort of 1-2 punch, one of the best ways to use this concept in like a real life working technique way is to, if you see a girl, let's say she's at a bar, because that's a pretty easy way to cross this path. You see her at a bar, she's standing there, she's talking to someone already, so you walk up. When you do this, when you walk up to someone who's there, if you give them positive body language, you're going to give everyone else a negative body language, because you can't face everyone at once. You just can't do it, especially if there's too many people. You're going to be giving, you're going to have your back turned to somebody. So you need that to be strategic. So the best way to do it is to introduce yourself or say hello or drop a banter line, something like, "You're trouble," which is a really simple banter line. Or, "I can already tell that you're trouble. I don't want any trouble tonight. I told my friends I wouldn't go home with anyone." Like these one-liners that are really silly, you know. As soon as you do that, if you turn to someone else and introduce yourself, that forces you to turn your back to this person, you will double the attraction you've just created. If you don't do it, then you won't double it. It'll stay there, and then over time, if you don't turn away at all or lean back, like in your case, you lean back with your body language, then the attraction starts to drop off until you finally get into rapport, if you can do that, you know. But most guys can't do it at that point because attraction's fleeting at that moment, so it's going away. So instead, it's always a lot more effective. I mean, at least in the experience of me and all the guys I've taught that have used this, it's a lot more effective to walk up and then use some kind of excuse to give negative body language. You can, in fact, you don't really need an excuse. You can actually just turn, laugh for a second, and while you're both laughing, turn your back for like 2 seconds and then turn back around again and keep talking. And as you do this, you'll create, ramp up attraction and create attraction a lot more as the interaction goes on, to the point where you don't really have to try to go into rapport. She'll be asking you all these questions and trying to get to know you a little bit better. And that's whenever you have a cue to go into rapport.
Right. So can you give us examples of like a couple of your, I guess, opener banter things, you know?
Yeah.
I don't do this stuff at all. So.
Okay. Okay.
This is all new ground to me, which is what, you know,
sure.
Well, I think my guys may want to, you know, understand more about it, because it's a different style of opening from what I do.
Yeah.
Right. So
one of the you got to keep in mind first off that the thing not to say is probably more important. Like the things to avoid are more important in the beginning, because we make these very few but very major mistakes that ruin the interaction in the beginning. If you lose their attention in the first 20 seconds, then there's nothing. You got nothing. You know, you can't do anything about it. So. One of the best ways to, the best things to say when you walk up is, you can take like the formula for it is any kind of statement that doesn't lead into any kind of other statement, meaning that anything that you can say that has no content. If you say, "Boy, it's rainy outside," that has content, right? You want something that has almost no content whatsoever. That's just a, like, for example, this would be a good what's called a drive-by. A drive-by is a banter line that you say as you're walking by, then you come back later on and talk to them again. This is one of the best ways to sort of get women to open up to you in the beginning without having to risk any kind of rejection whatsoever, because you're walking away as you do it. So one thing that's really easy to say is, "Oh, hey, there you are. I'll be right back." And that's it. And then walk off. And this is really, really simple. It's really, really easy to do. If you do this and walk across the bar like 2 or 3 times and do it to different people as you go by, you know, take your time with it. Then by the time you come back after maybe 5-10 minutes of doing this, then you don't get any of the initial resistance or rejection when you walk up to a group. They get automatically receptive to you. They automatically turn to you when you walk by because they think that you're going to talk to them again. "Your trouble" is one of my favorite ones. Or "I can already tell that you're trouble," that kind of thing. You have to be careful saying you're going to get me in trouble, because that sometimes will make women think that you have a girlfriend and that you're just flirting with women, and then you're going to get in trouble, right? So that's like, can turn some women off, can turn some women on too, but it more likely will turn women off. So you gotta be careful with that. But so specifically, like, "You're trouble," you know, I can't do this tonight. I told my friends I wouldn't go home with anyone, that kind of thing. Or something as simple as, you know, "I think you would look really cute with a mohawk." Or let me think of a couple more. I haven't used specific ones that I had to pull out of my pocket lately, because, or in a long time now, because I've gotten an ability to create situational banter. And situational banter, by the way, is like you walk up and you go, you see something and you just say something like this about that thing. Something, anything that you think of, like, that you can memorize from, you know, for example, from a movie, like a one-liner or funny thing from a movie, is that doesn't need a reference to the movie, is really good too. Like, if you've ever seen Caddyshack, which has got like nonstop one-liners, you know, like, "Not as far as you know" is a really great line from Caddyshack that you can use anytime you want to at the end of a sentence, or anytime anyone asks you a question that you don't want to answer. You can lie about it and then say "as far as you know, and then they'll laugh because it's like you're joking and lying about that. So it's like anything that you can think of that is lighthearted and silly that doesn't really take the conversation to anything deeper is a banter line. So in the beginning of an interaction, if you skip over this process, now a lot of people do this naturally, and they just kind of go straight into lighthearted conversation in the beginning. If you skip over it, then you can you run the risk of accidentally running into rapport too fast. If you run into rapport, it's really difficult to amp up attraction later. Because when you start to get to know somebody, you start to accept them for who they are, and you start to sort of transfer emotion from one person to another, which is really what rapport is all about, then you sort of lock down who you think they are as a person, and you don't allow them to grow anything any sort of way after that very easily. So one way this shows in relationships is that, let's say if you have a friend that's really close to you, that's known you for a really long time, and then you learn some of this stuff, and you sort of become a new person, and then you see them again, they typically resist that. They're like, what are you doing? You're faking it, right? Even though it's you're just improving yourself, you're not faking anything. And the reason why that happens is because they've already accepted who they think you are. If you step outside of that, then they don't accept that. So if you can ramp up attraction, most guys do probably about, I would say, a third of the amount of actual attraction building that they should do before they go into rapport, most guys. But people who are listening to this interview are probably not most guys. I mean, they've been studying with you. They've got a lot of information already. You know, they've understood this is an important part of their life and that they're focusing on it. So, and they'll do anything they can to improve and to actually do this. So they've kind of got a different problem usually, and that is that they stick in attraction too long and they never want to go into rapport, or they want to skip rapport altogether because they just want to go straight to sex, that kind of thing. And you can do that, but it's a lot less effective than walking through this piece by piece. In the beginning, women just don't trust you. They don't know you yet. So you have to come across as trustworthy with your body language. And as you do that, hold the place of the conversation with some kind of situational banter. And if you need something to say, like, that's in your back pocket. Like I said, one of my favorite ones is always been, it's like tried and true. One of my favorite ones is your trouble. It's just easy to say, and it doesn't lead into any serious conversation. And it always gets the same response, which is, me? What makes you say that? What do you mean? You know? And then you just elaborate. Oh, I can tell. I can see those little devil horns underneath your halo. You know, you're not fooling anybody. And that's just basically a list of those that you can have in your head. I have a list of those I could probably release to your list if they're interested in them. And you can send it out.
Cool.
Yeah.
But let's talk about, I have a few technical pickup questions for you, but, you know, better take those offline. What I would do, you know, what I want to do now is, so I mean, you've got this thing called the Tao of Badass, which is like a compilation of your techniques. Mm-hmm. So what kind of benefits can guys expect from that? I mean, I'm kind of assuming that all the stuff you've been talking about is in there.
Yeah, of course. I mean, when I started doing this, I built the Tao of Badass because I wanted to write a book that would explain 90% of everything guys needed to know. I mean, it was just like, you know, most of the progress that I saw was over the course of a few specific tweaks that weren't really, really complicated, but I needed to understand at a level that I didn't understand them before. Even when I started studying this stuff, I thought I knew it. And then when I got to the point where I started realizing the sort of way that they all work together, which is, you know, the Tao of Badass is, Tao is the way of the badass. That's what it is. And this is what I put together is really a pathway to being able to master this area. So if you go at this, and this is what I believe, and this has been my experience, if you go at this area of your life with the intention of just getting okay or good enough, you almost never get good enough. You have to sort of come at it with the intention of really understanding it and mastering it no matter what it takes to get it, you know, to get it figured out and get it handled. And when you do that, then you see the kind of results that you're looking for, that you really want, because you study more than just one thing. So most guys study until something works and then they stop studying because it started working and they never get any better than that. So what I cover in there is, you know, they'll know exactly, you know, what to say when they walk up. They'll know exactly how to move their body to create subconscious attraction. They'll know how to walk, sit, talk, stand. And you talk a lot about standing as well, and taking up your own space and everything. There's a mastery of dominant body language, and when necessary, using submissive body language, because there are times in which you actually need to do that. So that's all the body language side of everything. But there's also, like, there's an order in which everything has to happen. And one of the biggest mistakes that I made getting into this was thinking that I could blanket an entire interaction with one technique, and you cannot do that. You have to categorize your techniques in the right, or and put them in the right order, and do them in the right way in that order, so that so that they actually work. Otherwise, they won't work. And this is what's called seeing the matrix. So seeing the matrix is whenever you can get into an interaction and you know instantly what part of the interaction that you're in. And then at that moment, you can drop whatever it is that you need to do and say whatever you need to say, and it will work, right? But if you don't do it at the right time, you don't know the system, then you can say the right thing all you want, but and it may work for everybody else, but it'll only work whenever you happen to be at the right time to do it. So when you walk up to a girl you never met before, there's already something going on there. And if you walk into it thinking that nothing's going on and you're about to create something, you're sorely mistaken, and you're going to have a serious backlash from that several times. You'll get rejected a lot more, you know, sometimes 3, 4, 5 times more if you don't understand how to, quote unquote, sort of see the matrix here. And so the Tao of Badass teaches guys how to do that. It's also, you know, about, it's really all about one major concept too, and that is, at the end of the day, we're a species that's looking for preselection. I mean, women are looking for guys who other women want. And if you can move your body, say the right things, do the right things, and, you know, of course, not say the wrong things at the right time, then they will all think that women are all over you, and that's exactly what you need to do. At the end of the day, though, you are going to need to believe that women actually do want you, and that's, of course, a really crucial component. In the Tao of Badass, I cover confidence as well and what's called value dynamics, how to handle jerks and make them sort of turn into your personal bodyguards that you meet, you know, how to handle other guys who are really competitive, how to handle guys who are really supplicative and who are like trying to get be needy and get the girl away from you or get you away from the girl, and how to recognize other guys that are quote unquote tens, like the guys who are super high value, who can actually help you become more valuable. So, and there's a way to actually be that person yourself. It's really simple, and it's one tiny tweak in the way that you sort of act, one thing that you do specifically to everyone that you meet. And when you do that, people automatically think that you're super confident and extremely attractive as a guy. So I cover all this stuff, as well as, you know, many, many, many other things that go along with this. One of those things obviously being reading eye accessing cues, like understanding how to read a woman, how to read her body language, how to use your body language too as well. Of course, building rapport, there's a system to rapport. I cover that too. So basically, you should know, it should be soup to nuts for any guy who wants to take it to the next level, you know. And if he is, you know, it's not for guys who just want to kind of get halfway in or just learn one tiny skill set. It's for guys who want to really master everything. So if there's, you know, if you're interested in that and that is who you are, then I definitely suggest you check it out, you know.
Awesome. So beneath this audio, I'm going to have a special link for you guys.
Okay.
You can pick up Josh's stuff, The Tao of Badass. Sounds great. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Josh. And, you know, hope to hear, you know, hope I can get you, you know, out to the list soon again. And I really appreciate the totally new opening style I want guys to try.
Yeah, no problem, man. And, you know, what we'll do is I'll send you that banter list at some point. You can ship that out too if guys want that. So.
That'd be great.
The way they can have it. So if they do click on that link below, they're going to see a really super awesome video that I shot that teaches all about pre-selection and some of the key components of it, and, you know, the four sort of secret things that every woman needs before she'll sleep with you. So if they do want to see that, they can click it below and check it out, and I think they'll get a lot from it.
So, great. A pleasure. Awesome.
Dad, thanks so much, Miha.
Yep.